reading from the Bible now, and it's from the Gospel according to John. And if you want to follow it in the church Bibles, you'll find it on page 144. You need to turn to the back of the Bible and work backwards from there to get to page 144. And we're going to read the first part of chapter 20, which is headed The Empty Tomb. We'll be reading down to verse 18 on page 145. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They did still not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni." This means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. This is God's word. Amen.
Well, I want to take you a long, long way back. How far back can you go? Somebody says too far. I want to take you back before the beginning of time. What was there before the beginning of time? God was. Were you going to say that? What were you going to say? Nothing. Well, nothing and God. God was there before the beginning of time, and God was three and God was one. That's a strange thing to understand, isn't it? Three and one and one and three. God was Father, Son, and Spirit, and they lived in community together. They loved each other. And then one day God thought, "I'll create the earth." Why did God create the earth? Anybody know why he created the earth? I suspect it was... Yeah? He could have people to enjoy his world, yeah. I imagine he created the earth because he could. You know, I like to paint. And the reason I paint is because I can and I enjoy it. And I imagine God created the world because he could. Because it was something that he would enjoy. And he created land and sea and the fish of the sea, the animals in the air, the birds in the air and the animals on the land. I wonder what your favorite animals are. A few days ago, I went walking on Morgan's Hill in the evening, and there were grey partridges running across the path in front of me. There was deer running across the field, and there were the red kites flying in the sky, and it was beautiful. What are your favorite animals? Roz, have you got a favorite animal?
A gorilla.
A gorilla? A silverback? Yeah.
My favorite animal is a
sloth. Sloth. Brilliant. Anybody else got a favorite animal? Shout them out. Cats. Pigs. Canary. Now, two years ago, I was off the coast in Sydney. And I went whale watching, so my latest favorite animal is the whale. Because there were 20 minutes of mother whale breaching out of the sea and smashing down, and the young calf following on afterwards. And the chap on the boat said, I have not seen a display like this in years. God created all those things, and it was beautiful. And then he created human beings like you and me to take care of the world in which we lived. And he wanted us to love him as much as he loved us. But what happened? People started to turn away from God. They thought they were gods themselves and they could take control. And so they went their own way. And each time they went their own way, God confronted them with his love. And said, I will always keep my promises. I will always go on loving you. And he sent prophets into the world. Does anybody know what a prophet is?
Is it someone who takes messages from God and lets other people know?
Yeah, perfect. Somebody who takes messages from God and lets other people know. So he sent prophets to tell people that he was concerned about the way they were living their lives and he wanted them to recognize who he was and to love him as he loved them. But still, they turned their backs on him and still God confronted them with his love. And after the last prophet spoke, the people had been told by the prophets that somebody would come one day who would rescue them. But do you know how long after the last prophet wrote that it took before that person came? How many years? 500? 600? 400. 400 years roughly before Jesus came, the light of the world. Imagine those people waiting all that time, one generation after another. Jesus came as the light of the world in human form. He was the light of life and brought sight to the blind, and he raised people from the dead. And he told stories and demonstrated how God loved the people around. He said, repent because the kingdom has come near to you. And repent means to turn around, to recognize God for who he is, and to go on loving him and following him. Some people followed him and some people didn't. On Thursday night in this place, we shared a meal together. Do you know what that meal was about? What do you think we had for our meal on Thursday?
Bread.
Say that again. So
wine and bread.
Wine and bread, yeah. Do you know why we had wine and bread?
It's because because it's God's last meal.
It was the Last Supper, yeah. So it was Jesus' Last Supper with his followers. And he had a meal together. They probably had more than wine and bread. They probably had roast lamb. I like a bit of roast lamb, don't you? Rosemary, yeah. So they probably had lamb to eat. But then in the meal, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, this is a symbol of my life that I'm going to lose so that you can have life. This is my body given for you. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup is a symbol of my blood that's shed for you. Because he knew that he was going to have to die on a cross, the most hideous death, so that we might have life. Now, it's a strange thing, isn't it? It's hard to understand. Nobody here can fully explain it, not even me. But it's a bit like two people who are married. That's right. Like grandma and granddad, yeah? Two people who are married, and one of them does something so terribly wrong that normally that would end in divorce. But the person who did nothing wrong one day goes to the person who did something terribly wrong and says, I don't want this relationship to continue. I have always loved you. And I long to go on loving you. And for that reason, I'm going to take all the pain and the hurt that you have caused onto myself so that our love can still continue. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took all the pain and the hurt from all of us in the world and said, I take all of that, so that you can have life and you can be forgiven. So that happened on Good Friday. Now some people say, why is it called Good Friday? Well, there's an argument about the origin. Some people say it was once called God Friday, which would make sense. But it is a Good Friday because he died for us, but it was a sad occasion. And then we've heard about Easter Day, the story that David has just read for us. How the women, we've got the women here going to the tomb and finding the tomb where Jesus was laid empty. And his grave clothes were folded up. Now, Jewish men used to wear a prayer shawl around their shoulders when they prayed. And Jesus would have had one of those, and that would have been wrapped around his head when he was buried in the tomb. But when they found the tomb, they found the grave clothes all folded up. And some people say, I wonder whether they knew how Jesus folded his prayer shawl, that was a sign to them when they saw it themselves, because that was the way he always folded it. We don't know whether that's true or not, but it's a lovely idea that perhaps that was a sign to them that was truly Jesus that had folded it and left it there and had risen. And now, because of that, all the rules change. The world is turned upside down. We can all live a new life. So, the good news is that when you and I turn from God, he always turns toward us. And when we run from God, he always confronts us with his love. And even when they killed him on a cross, he confronted all of us with his mercy and his forgiveness. We're going to share a meal in a moment, but first we're going to sing together. And as we sing, our offering will be taken up. If you've come this morning not expecting to give, then please just let the bags pass you by. We sing together, Behold the Lamb.
Take up the sacrifice of the song.
please take a seat. Thank you. Please take a seat. Thank you. This meal that we share together has caused many divisions in our church, not just specifically here, but in the church at large. Because people make a boundary and they decide who's in and who's out. But actually, what matters here this morning is which direction you're moving in. You can be 100 miles away from God this morning, but travelling towards Him, and He says, you're welcome to take this bread and drink this cup. You could be very close to God this morning, but facing in the wrong direction, and He says, reorientate yourself. Turn around and face me, and you're welcome here too. Here this morning, young and old are welcome to share the elements, at the discretion of parents. If children would like to receive a blessing as the bread and the wine are shared, if they come forward here, I will bless them. This is the welcome table of our Redeemer, and you are all invited. Make no excuses saying you cannot attend, just simply come. For around this table you find your family. Come not because you have to, but because you need to. Come not to prove that you're saved, but to seek the courage to follow wherever Christ leads. Come not to speak, but to listen. Not to hear what's expected, but to be open to the ways the Spirit moves amongst us. So be joyful, not somber, for this is the feast of the reign of God, where the broken are moulded into a beloved community, and where the celebration over evil's defeat has already begun. One translation of the Bible puts Jesus' words like this: are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus said, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. Let's pray for a moment. Great God, you know the deepest desires of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from you. You know the hurt and the pain and the sin. You know our greatest joys and our greatest happiness. Come by your Spirit and cleanse our hearts by the inspiration of your Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder what it would have been like to be a fly on that wall in the upper room, knowing what we know now. And when Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it, his bread, and he broke it saying, this is my body broken for you, all of you, eat of it. And after supper he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we show forth, we preach forth the Lord's death until he comes again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus gave thanks, and we're now going to do the same. Let's pray together.
Thank you, Jesus, for the bread and wine and what it means to us, especially today on Easter Sunday. We remember what you went through on Good Friday, the whipping, the insults, the pain for our sins and death. But today we remember and know that you came back to life again and you are alive with us now, and it was for your love for us. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
What kind of love is this? What kind of man is this? That somebody becomes totally broken that we might be made whole. Christ's body broken for you. Eat and give thanks.